Message from Starfleet Command, top priority.
You are listening to the Trek Ranks Podcast, a member of the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network. This is episode 138, featuring the top five scenes in engineering. Welcome, Star Trek fans. I am Jim Morehouse. I'm the host of the Trek Ranks podcast, and tonight we are returning to our favorite scenes in Trek series for the 12th time. Tonight, it is a classic location in Star Trek. It's that part of the ship that where everything's always happening. It's top five scenes in engineering, and it really doesn't get any more Star Trek than that. So we'll be giving it all she's got tonight, with two great guests for this topic. First up, returning for her 15th Trek Ranks appearance, our good friend and host of the superb Snap Trek podcast, and a real-life engineer herself, coming to us live from the Philadelphia Intermex Chamber, it's Jen Tift.
Hey, how's it going, Jim?
Yeah, it's going good. Good to have you back on. And our
I'm just saying I'm so thrilled for this topic. Thank you for having me on for this.
This is the perfect topic for you, and our second guest tonight is making her third Trek Ranks appearance, hailing us from the engineering section on the NC Tar Heel in the North Carolina system. It's Dr. Beverly Falls. Welcome back, Beverly.
Hi, so great to be here with a real engineer.
That's how I feel. I'm gonna be asking questions the whole way through. So how does
I'm very good at the fake engineering, the made up, the 21st century technology. I'm well versed in that.
I'm good at made up stuff. I want to hear the real stuff. All right, this is going to be great. Let's get into our Trek Ranks recalibration.
What are you recalibrating?
Everything. It's a sweeping, a recalibration of all systems.
As regular listeners will know by now, General Order Number 1 of the Trek Ranks charter is that we love Trek. We love to rank Trek via some deep dive topics just to get the conversation started. And remember, it's not about the ranks. It's just our excuse to talk about Star Trek. And as the Vulcan Master likes to tell us each week,
infinite diversity.
In infinite combinations.
No wrong answer. It's not about being right or defensive in any way. It's just about sharing the things we love about Trek, and we love it all from TOS to TNG, straight through to Enterprise and the Kelvin timeline, and now Discovery, Short Trek, Star Trek Picard, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, and Prodigy. It's all fair game here on the Trek Ranks podcast.
Black alert. Black alert.
And a reminder that this episode of Trek Ranks is current through 851 episodes of Star Trek, which currently translates to the 8th episode of season 1 of Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, the Elysian Kingdom, which was awesome. And one final reminder that we use episodes of the shorthand term, but the 13 films are always in play as well. And they are definitely in play tonight.
Have boosted power to the communications bandwidth.
And we appreciate that, Mr. Kim. And you can find Trek Ranks on Subspace at TrekRanks.com. You can contact me directly at Twitter, on Twitter, at Trek Ranks, at Enterprise Extra. And you can also call and leave us a message with your own picks at 609-512-LLAP. That's 609-512-5527. Imagine if someone was listening to this for the first time, how important all this information would be. That's why we do it. Okay, wrap it up. Jen and Beverly, let everyone know how they get a hold of you on Subspace. Jen.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter. I'm at Edith Quirks, and you can find my podcast, Snap Trek, wherever you get your podcast.
We love Snap Trek. And Beverly from UNC, the home of Michael Piller. We love that.
Oh,
and I'm on Twitter at DrBNC89.
Fantastic. Two great Trek follows, and let's do it. Let's get into our level one diagnostic to get into this topic.
Run a level one diagnostic series. Come.
So really quick, everyone knows the drill by now. We love our scenes in Trek series. So that means I'm doing our roll call of our previous 11 topics that we've done. We've done scenes in a turbo lift, which was our first, and love that one. Shuttlecraft, Jeffrey's Tubes, Brig on location in a cave in sick bay, on Earth in a corridor, scenes on a cliff. And the last one was our top five fight scenes. And tonight we're doing top five scenes in engineering. And just to be clear, engineering is that could kind of be broad depending on your prime directive. I mean, you have your standard engineering sets But you also have Discovery's Engineering Test Bay Alpha that houses the Spore Drive. And you've got little rooms above engineering that we've seen in TOS and episodes like Mirror Mirror. And I'd even be good with someone picking a location like the nacelle, the control room that we saw in Eye of the Beholder. And anyway, there's lots of options. So I think this is broader than just straight engineering. And I just thought of this. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to spring it on Jen and Beverly. What's your favorite engineering set? No prep. Jen, what do you got?
Okay, well, I have a lot of thoughts on this topic, unsurprisingly, but I have to go with the NX-01, the Warp 5 engine.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's so cool.
It's just so cool. I mean, it's the one that looks closest to, you know, to something that I would be familiar with. You know, everything I see there, I feel like I could actually go in and, you know, and be an engineer there, you know. I would need training, obviously, but it's close enough. I feel like there's something that I would recognize, and I do recognize, and they do a really good job of making that set be a transition from, a control room, a reactor core that you would see today versus, you know, what you see from TOS on. And it's a really good transition. And the Warp 5 engine is just so sleek. It's got that cool catwalk. I love the controls on top. And it also has my favorite thing in that room, which is, of course, Mr. Charles Tucker III.
Of course. I was like, what could it be? Oh, yeah, I know what it is. Beverly, how about you? What would be your set that you picked right off the top of your head?
My set would be Voyager with B'Elanna Torres, puttering around. Although Prodigy with the Protostar might be fun too.
You know what I didn't think of this actually. This is a spoiler for my picks. I love that Voyager set, and they have that little room upstairs in the back, where they have a lot of scenes back there where it's like a little bit of a control panel that I didn't think about picking that. I should have done that.
Yeah. There's a lot of nooks and crannies in that set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really interesting, but really fun to, you know, to walk around there and see what you can see and hide in there and do your little calibrations or whatever you're doing. And I also love the, just the visuals of the Voyager warp core. That's my favorite warp core.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's very soothing.
And I like that Prodigy shout out's good too. That's really cool. I guess that means I have to pick one too. I might have picked Enterprise and I might have picked Voyager, but since you guys picked them, I'm going to go with the classic TNG set because that thrumming warp core is really the greatest thing ever.
And you got to give a shout out to Geordi's wonderful
pool table. Oh yeah,
it's
pool table will be coming up in my
good. that's awesome.
So good. All right, fantastic. Let's get into everyone's prime directive now and see how everybody broke down their list.
But what you're proposing is exactly the kind of tampering the prime directive prohibits.
Okay, Jen, starting with you. How did you come up with your list? Do you have a detailed prime directive or just something wide open? I can't wait to hear this.
This was probably my hardest prime directive to come up with.
Wow.
Because I am just, okay, the engineering, main engineering in Star Trek on any of the ships, that's the place in the Star Trek universe that I'm the most comfortable. I love them all. Anytime there's a scene there, you know, my blood pressure just drops, even if something exciting is happening. So, and I thought about it and I thought like, at first I thought I'm going to make the most driest, boringest list ever. It's all going to be like just them like engineering the hell out of stuff.
I thought that might be your list. That's so fun.
You know, and I thought about it, but then you know what? A lot of that stuff doesn't really happen in main engineering. You know, a lot of the breakthroughs aren't really happening there. In main engineering, first of all, I should say, for me, I know what you said earlier, but for me, engineering has a warp engine in it. Like that was for sure from the beginning.
I like that.
It has to have a warp because that to me that's part of the fun. So I didn't do any of the like little engineering labs.
And, sorry, Stamets.
Sorry, Samus. I love that set. And I love the Spore Drive. Like so many, I really hope that you guys have Spore Drive stuff on your list because that's so cool. But I just did straight up has to have a warp engine in it. But so I thought like, well, what really happens there? It's more, if nothing's going wrong, it's maintaining status quo, you know, it's keeping everything running, running some tests, trying to prove efficiency. You know, there's really not too much meat there actually in the scenes, or it's complete chaos, you know, and it's damage control. And those scenes are less about the actual engineering than it is about like the excitement and the, you know what I mean? And what's going on in the explosions and, but you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do the boring engineering list. I'm going to wait and hope that you someday do like an engineering
problem.
Miracles.
Yeah. Miracle episode. Workers is on the long list.
Yes.
Exactly. Miracles is on the long list.
Yeah. So this is more just scenes where the actual, it actually being in engineering is meaningful in some way.
Got it.
But it's not necessarily about like our engineers, like engineering things. You know what I'm saying? I thought more about the location than the actual engineering, I think.
Got it.
For my list.
Okay. How about you, Bev? How did you break it down?
I went with the Trek Ranks prime directive and said, if I had fun watching it and want to watch it again, that's what I picked.
I love it. Oh, that's pretty much mine too. So I kind of always end up there. No, that's perfect. That is a fun way. Oh my God. Wait, actually, that is exactly my prime directive. I'm looking at my notes here. So I came up with a huge long list and I really thought I was going to narrow it down. And then I literally wrote just something that was fun. So all of my picks are fun. No technological parameter needed. My picks are fun. That's literally my notes. And I had forgotten that. So yes, we are on the exact same page, Beverly. Fun. We're going to have 10 fun picks. Okay, let's do this first. Kadakaton, introduce us to the new order of things.
It'll be alphas like us that determine the future of this quadrant. That will be the new order of things.
Thank you, First Kadakaton. And as always, just a quick reminder how we're going to go through the order of things. First, everyone will start with their 5-word summary and a hashtag to tease their pick. Then we'll each reveal our top 5 scenes in engineering and the reasons we're highlighting it. And of course, we'll pick an episode to associate with it, which will be kind of obvious, I think, in this case. And then at the end, we'll ask everyone for a few secondary system selections for the picks that just missed our list. And as always, if you have any duplicate picks, make sure you listen for the Defiant Torpedoes. And I think we could easily, this is one of those topics we could easily have a lot of duplicates. And there's some big moments that take place in engineering, but I also get the feeling we might not. So we shall see. Jen, we're starting with you. Activate your primary injectors. What's your number 5 pick for your top 5 scenes in engineering?
Okay. Sometimes engineers need to improvise, right? And add in some margin for error. So I am cheating right off the bat.
Okay.
Here. And I am picking.
You didn't tell them how long it was really going to take.
Exactly. So I am picking 2 scenes here that I can't think of one without the other. And they're very, you know, similarly structured. So I had to pick them both. 5 words that don't impress me much. Hashtag whether you're a princess or warp field theorist. And these scenes are TOS season 3, episode 2, Elan of Troyes. And Enterprise season 1, episode 11, Cold Front. And both of these scenes are our engineers giving tours of the engineering department.
Oh my God.
While people are thinking about sabotage.
Oh my God. It's a classic Snap Trek pick.
You know what it is? That's
this
funny.
This is the Snap Trek pick.
I can't help it.
What the hell do these two have in common? Coldfire and Elan of Troyes?
I can't help but make those connections, I guess. But I can't think of one of these scenes without the other. It's so funny.
And I forgot about the sabotage element of Elan of Troyes.
So the Gold Front one is super funny because this is early in Enterprise season 1. And so they're, you could tell that they have trips saying stuff to try to like teach us about what's happening in engineering. You know, it's really for us than the delegation that he has there. But you know, he does his little spiel, but he's doing it very, very high level, not a very deep dive, I guess, you know, like he's like, look, you know, this antimatter and antimatter reactions, you know, they make, they make energy, and then we channel it to those big cylinders you might have seen on the outside of the ship, you know. Yeah. Like he's doing it like he's talking to like children, you know.
Right.
And the guy's like, oh yeah, the nacelles, they, you know, they create the, you know, subspace displacement field, or, you know. And he's like, I'm a warp field theorist.
I love that.
And I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I've been, you know, these guys obviously know what they're talking about.
How else do you think we're hanging out by the plume of Agasauria?
Exactly. So it's really funny because he switches gears right away, and he gets one of them asks a really smart question. He starts answering it with a little bit more technobabble. And the technobabble that he says is really fun to listen to, because it's actually pretty good. But meanwhile, that's just in the background, because meanwhile, you've got the Suliban, who's
Silic,
think is sabotaging their, you know, that warp 5 engine. But what he's really doing is you don't find out until later that he's actually stopping a future cascading yeah. failure event from reaching the reactor, because this is temporal Cold War stuff. So it, you know, but it's just such a fun little scene. You learn a little bit about the engine, and I always think about how Trip reacts to that versus Scotty reacting to him having to give a tour in engineering to Elan and her delegation, who are really just in engineering because they want to know where everything is so that they can send a transmission, you know, to the Klingons and, you know, yep. and do some very bad things. But it's really funny because Scotty is having none of this. He's like, Kirk, why are these people in my engineering, you know, in my space, you know, versus Trip is very Southern hospitality. And she's so funny. She's like, we're interested in how the ship is used for combat, not in what drives its engines. You know, that's for mechanics and menials, she says.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mechanics and menials. And, like, and of course, Scotty's like, wait just a minute here, yeah. Missy. You know? And it's just so funny to see the difference, how the two engineers react to these two different tours, and how both have that element of, you know, something else going on below the surface of just the tour and what's going on in here. And they just, I love both these scenes. So I had to pick them together.
That's
so.
A fantastic correlated deep cut.
Lassie, even our impulse engines must seem fast compared to your nuclear propulsion units.
We're interested in how the ship is used in combat, not in what drives it. Engines are for mechanics and menials.
Menials? Without engines, there'd be no fighting on...
Scott, I wish you had told me that you wanted a tour of the engineering departments.
Do we not have the freedom of this ship? We have granted your crew the permission not to kneel in our presence. What else do you want?
Courtesy, remember?
Courtesy is not for inferiors.
Courtesy is for everyone around here, and you'll find you won't be able to exist on Troyes without it. Mr. Scott, our chief engineer, has shown you his engineering department. That's a courtesy. You respond by saying thank you.
I love it. I got nothing to add. That's so comprehensive. I love those scenes. I love Scotty being annoyed. I love how she says, menials. So
funny.
Beverly, what's your take on these two? This is brilliant.
I love how you put both of them together, but it reminds me of something about each of them. Trip answering the classroom questions.
Oh yeah, oh,
right.
And then Scotty and Relics saying, "Just show me the bridge, or no bloody A, B, C, yeah. or D."
He doesn't mess around.
Or Scotty hanging out with his technical manuals. I love that. Hey, it's Beverly and my list are supposed to be fun, not yours, Jen. Wow, that was fun. Okay, Beverly.
That could be fun.
I have no doubt. Beverly, what's your number 5 pick?
Okay, number 5. Each series has an outbreak. # warp core breach imminent. And so my first pick is Strange New Worlds, Ghost of Valyria, where Leon tries to unleash the warp core, and Una comes in and it saves the entire ship because they're able to make chimeric antibodies.
Oh, love it.
That, you know, medical background, I had to that stuck with me.
Is that, sorry, I'm not knowledgeable in this. Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wait, what are they? What are they, antibodies?
They're called chimerics, where in mythology, a chimera was a mixture of two different beasts.
Yep.
And so Una couldn't make antibodies because her system just completely eradicated the disease. But since she was with Leon, Leon made the antibodies that Una used to protect her.
Oh, I don't think I picked up on that. That's fantastic. Yeah. I thought Chimera was a season 7 episode of Deep Space Nine. I'm clueless.
One track mind, Jim.
All right. That is an awesome pick. That's a showcase for how good that VR wall is and how amazing.
Oh, awesome.
That set is just so impressive on Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds Engineering is amazing. I thought there might be some love for it. This topic. Jen, what's your take on Ghosts of Illyria?
I am obsessed with this pick. I love it so much. I love it. Like you said, it really does showcase that engineering set, which is just so epic. And the way to showcase such an epic engineering set is to have an epic fight.
Yeah.
Just such a great choreographed fight between two of the most badass characters I've ever known. You know, I love them both so much. I love La'an. I love Una. And to see them fight against this background that looks, it almost felt like video game-ish. You know what I mean? Like this would be a stage you could pick in an epic fighting video game, you know, and they're so great. And it's just so well choreographed. And, you know, and then, you know, at the end, she's on top of her and you see the light coming out of her chest and it's just, oh, everything about it. So, but it just, I just love that in comparison to then like what's happening in engineering. We got this warp core behind her and she's like a little mini warp core, you know what I mean? And it's so cool.
Yeah.
What an awesome pick.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. And a fight in engineering. I mean, plenty of those. So, okay. My round 5 pick, 5 words in a hashtag, building a house of cards, hashtag on the warp reactor. And this is an action sequence from Enterprise season 3, episode 10, Similitude. And I love this moment. So Similitude is a very popular, well-known, one of my favorite Star Trek episodes ever. With you know, all the moral quandaries around Trip dying and Sim being harvested for organs to save Trip, but it all starts with this incredible action sequence all in engineering on the NX-01, and I freaking love it. It's just incredibly well filmed. It was directed by LeVar Burton. The explosions, the complete visceral feeling of it. Some great techno battle, compressing the antimatter stream before it hits the ejectors.
Something's flooding the intake manifolds.
Dropped impulse. I've lost helm control.
Trip status.
I've got a primary ejector flare.
I'm shutting down.
It's not responding, Captain.
Trip's gonna turn everything off, run down the stairs, climb back up on the engine. And as he's climbing down, this huge explosion knocks him into the wall. Just incredible. So this one popped into my head early. It's one I think of a lot from that episode. Super memorable and just phenomenal. So Trip basically getting maimed in Similitude. Beverly, what's your take?
Of course, that ethical quandary is always hard to rewatch, but
yes,
it really spotlights the bravery of the Enterprise crew.
Yeah, for sure. That's like two medical picks in a row in engineering. Jen, what's your take on this explosion in engineering?
I love this scene so much. I'm so glad you picked it because I tried to dial it back a little on the Trip picks. But I love this because this is what's so cool about the NX-01 engineering set, because it is like you said, it's so visceral, but it's so like athletic, you know, like he's got to climb over
it stuff feels
and
dangerous.
Get to panels and open. It feels dangerous and it feels mechanical. And if you know what I mean, and it's just and he's climbing everywhere and you can see you can feel like the time crunch happening and the sparks everywhere and then his heroics and he paid for it and it's just Oh, that scene has everything. I love that pick.
It's a big part of why that episode works. Could get that whole thing could have been off camera and they could have tried to tell that story. It was really good. Okay. Yeah,
it was important to see, I think, you know, Oh, this is the kind of thing Trip brings to the table. It's engineering miracles and, you know, willingness to give his life for the cause, you know, for the cause.
Yep. So. Yep. All right. Round four, Jen, what's your number four pick?
Okay. For my number four pick, even her drink order is adorable. # you never get a second chance to make a first impression. This is TNG season 2, episode 16, Q Who, and my beloved ensign, Sonia Gomez.
Oh my God.
I could not have Sonia Gomez on the engineering scenes.
Well, this proves you didn't pick all big engineering problems to solve.
Yeah.
Because this scene is literally spilling hot chocolate.
Yes, exactly. In engineering, though. No, but right. It's crucial that it's in engineering because, you know, you meet this just like adorable, spunky woman she's like polite to the replicator, you know?
Right.
And but she's also like, okay, so then, you know, she has her hot chocolate and she's in engineering and she shouldn't have hot chocolate in engineering. Why is there even a replicator in main engineering? It makes no sense. but you learn about her, you learn that she's an antimatter phase expert, which is so cool. And this is like her first day, you know, in engineering. Right. And Geordi's, it's funny too. This is really a Geordi moment too, because she's yakking, you know what I mean? You can see like that. It's a little, her personality, you can see, you know, just being so young and fresh, like might be a little much, especially for someone like Geordi, and you could tell he's just like, okay, yeah, you know? But then, you know, when it happens, when she turns around and Captain Picard's there and she spills her hot chocolate on him, which is such an adorable beverage for her. Like, that's perfect for her. You know, but when she does, Geordi steps up for his team and he's like, I take full responsibility, Captain, you know, like right away he backs her up. And this is a great Geordi moment too. I had to pick Sonia Gomez because also like she's an important character to me, because she's also a main character in the Starfleet Corps of Engineer books.
Oh, that's
right. Get a shout out in this episode. She's the exo of the Da Vinci, and that's my favorite series of Star Trek books, and she's awesome in that. And we got to see her again in Lower Decks, and she's the captain of the Archimedes, and it's so fitting that she's in Lower Decks because that's where we meet her in this horribly awkward first impression with Captain Picard, you know. And she gets that chance to show how she's grown from her Lower Decks days, you know.
Not a coincidence that the Lower Decker Sonia Gomez spilling chocolate on Picard is saving the day in first contact in Lower Decks. So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Oh,
I love it.
I love this. Any take on Sonia Gomez, Beverly?
Oh, I was just going to say, anytime an episode starts out with a beverage, I know it's going to be a great episode. Because they did Q Who, and they did Yesterday's Enterprise with the prune juice. And then, of course, you got to have the green stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Those are two good examples for sure. And shout out to Lysia Naff, the actress who played her. I love this pick. It's so cool that she's come back in First Contact. Fantastic deep cut pick off the beaten track. Beverly, what's your number four pick?
Okay, number four. This time will be different. And # Galaxy's Most Wanted. So it's Voyager's Timeless from season 5, episode 6. And, you know, the champagne christening of the slip drive warp.
It's so great.
Slipstream warp drive. That is something that always sticks in my mind. And then Harry being so committed to getting the whole crew home. I just love it.
Timeless is one of my top 5 Voyager episodes. It's absolute time travel perfection. I love it so much. Yeah, the slipstream is that whole breaking the champagne bottle and everyone cheering. And it just felt, I love it. I love it. And I also liked that it was kind of served two purposes, because this was the 100th episode of Voyager. So they were celebrating the show as well. Timeless is an all-time classic, showcasing that. It was funny because I definitely was thinking, man, I'm going to pick Timeless. And then when I went through it, I was like, ah, I think I won't because I felt I was more into the Harry and the Delta Flyer stuff. But I love this pick, Timeless. Jen, what's your take?
I love Timeless so much. I think this is a great pick. I love that there, you know, they came up with this engineering solution, a bold solution, and tried it and it didn't work. And I really like that the christening, you know, the christening was done in engineering. It wasn't done in the bridge. One of the things that Voyager did on several occasions was make their main engineering space be like the de facto second command center, you know, more so than they did in other series. And I think that was because Voyager was more, I mean, that was all, you know, I guess all the ships are their homes, but that's all they right. got, you know yeah, what yeah, I mean? Yeah. And that was their life. That was like the hearth. It was like the hearth of Voyager, you know? Yeah. And here when she's, you know, when Janeway gives the speech and they do the champagne and everything, you feel that, and you feel that they're sitting by the fire, you know, basically toasting this new, you know, hope that they have. And it feels very like a family, you know, like Voyager often does. And I think that's a wonderful pick.
I love that. Note to self, come up with a Trek Ranks topic with dealing with hearth. Because I love it. Okay. My round four pick. I always knew I was going to pick something from TOS, and I had a bunch of different options. I was close on a few others from season two or season three. They had the stairs, that little upstairs walkway above the control panels. They were added, but in the end, in season one, it was just this huge wall of control panels, and that's what I chose before the ladder and walkways. This is another one that I thought of immediately when this topic came up, and I made sure it was on my list. Five words and a hashtag: primary energy circuits tapped out, hashtag you're out of power. And it is the hunt for Ben Finney in TOS Court Martial. And I freaking love this look at engineering, just the way they shoot it. And this is one of those ones where I have to think, when I was 10 years old and watching this on my TV in the 70s, the engineering just felt like this huge space. And the way they shoot Kirk come in along the panel of electronics and the control panel, and he's moving slowly, and then he gets to the wall and he goes to the right, and there's like four big compartments or crates or boxes, and they're just arranged so you can walk between them. But to me, it felt like the biggest labyrinth ever, and he's like going through these corridors and trying to find Ben Finney. Meanwhile, it's literally like it's four boxes, it's like one intersection. So is how they shot it. But it just felt like, oh, how's he going to find Ben Finney in here? I don't know. It's just it's nostalgic for me. And I love this scene when Finney finally comes out. And the added part of this for engineering is Finney's sabotaged the engines. So the primary energy circuits are tapped out, and they're going to decay out of their orbit. Everyone's going to die. So really good. I love the force perspective of the warp engines and the TOS engineering and the grate and the fight. And there's just a random wrench on a shelf, and Finney grabs it and swings it at Kirk. Just a million things I love about this scene. Way over the top. Beverly, what's your take on Ben Finney?
Well, you know, I love TOS. I grew up on TOS. And it reminds me of how the imagination is so powerful, because you look at those sets and it was like Christmas lights blinking on and off, but we're going through space with these Christmas lights.
It was a ship in space, no question about it in my mind. Jen, what's your take?
Yeah. I mean, I love it because there would be a bunch of weird, there are, and I've been in power plants and there are tons of weird little spaces like that. You know, it is a labyrinth and it's cool that they, you know, actually, you know, put some of that in. And it's funny that the first time we see the engineering set is as the enemy within. And it's also him looking, well, he's, you know, looking for him,
but, yes. Oh, but it's the same. Right. It's the same scene basically.
Yeah, no, well, yours is way better. Right. Better fight and better, you know, the wrench. I love the wrench.
The wrench is so good. It's just sitting there for no reason.
Yeah, but it's funny that they took advantage, like, oh, we have this great area where there's places to hide. There's places to to search and engineering and they and TOS actually takes advantage of that, the up top where there are those little spaces, and it takes a good advantage of the bottom section being just like a huge empty space. And there are some that we might talk about later, it's a really good backdrop. It's actually, that's similar to Strange New Worlds. I always thought that the engineering set in TOS was a really good backdrop for things to happen, you know, not necessarily engineering things, but just things to happen same way, you know, like just like, look at that. It's just epic.
There's so many more on my list that may or may not make it that fit that mold for TOS.
Same for me.
Okay, fantastic. Let's go to the soup round.
And now, as I'm sure that somebody out there has said, it's time to pay for the soup.
Jen, what's your number three pick?
Oh, my soup round pick. 5 words. A gift from Father Time. # hand me the coil spanner. And this is Enterprise season 3, episode 21, E². And I swear this is my last trip pick. I mean, this is Trip and his son engineering together. It's just the background of if he gets to engineer with his son. This is something that Trip hasn't experienced. This is something that his son hasn't gotten to experience, because you learn in the scene that Trip died when he was young, when he was 14. And it's just wonderfully done. They're improving the NX-01. They're modifying the plasma injector assemblies and reinforcing, you know, the hull, and so that they can go faster and make it to the, you know, meeting with Degron. And they're just engineering. And his son's like, you know, hand me the coil spanner. Like you would have like your man to man, quote unquote, talks, you know, with your dad while you're fixing the car. Right. Like, just has that feeling about it, and the way that that the scene's directed, it has that feeling to it. And it's just such a lovely little scene. And it's funny too, because his son, you know, and Trip's funny in it, because he's like, yeah, you know, around the eyes you look like my dad, you know, but those are all from your mom, you know what I mean? And he's joking. And it's cute too, because his son then laughs, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm half Vulcan, but I haven't suppressed my human side, and it's a little bit different, you know, than we've seen before. And he's great, and you can kind of see both Trip and T'Pol in that character, which I love. And he has this great line. It's just weird seeing like a Vulcan say this line. You know, he said, you were a good father. It's strange being able to tell you that, you know, like contemplating the strangeness of something doesn't seem like a Vulcan thing. It seems like a Trip, you know, human thing to do. And it's just such a lovely, the way he delivers that line. It's just lovely. And that scene just always gets me.
That's a great deep cut. What's his son's name?
Lorian.
That is a fantastic deep cut pick. I never would have thought of that, but it's really emotional. It's really, really well done, especially with what happens afterwards when Lorian kind of turns on everybody.
Right.
Beverly, what's your take on E²?
Jen, I'm so happy that you're making me appreciate Enterprise a lot more. And you know, it also makes me think about Jake and Sisko.
Yes,
in The Visitor.
Yes.
Oh damn, that happened
also in engineering.
That happened in engineering.
Yeah, that wonderful hug.
That would have been a good pick. Maybe someone will still pick it. Fantastic. All right, Beverly, what's your soup round pick?
Okay, since it's the soup round, I went with spilling things. So the five words are: a terrifying foe becomes canon. And the hashtag is spilt milk, and it's Q-Who.
Oh! That's a perfect brown
fish. That is like, a great super.
I'm like, spilling things? What the hell? Oh, of course, it's Q-Who.
So, I agree with loving Sonia Gomez and the fact that she advanced to become a captain of Archimedes. And I just love how the entire team of Trek writers really knows how to pay homage, because Archimedes was the first person that suggested the Earth revolved around the sun instead of the other way around.
I did not know that. That's so cool. It's Beverly, that's awesome. What a great little nugget. I didn't know that about Archimedes.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping there's no duplicates, and the only duplicate on Scenes in Engineering is Sonia Gomez spilling hot chocolate on Picard. It's perfect. It's so good.
It's such an impact with so little screen time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she came back and was such a, I mean, first contact, so good. She's so incredible in it. It's great. All right. Jen, anything to add? Any last Sonia Gomez love?
Yeah, just like, I mean, I saw Sonia Gomez when I was a little, you know, when I was a little girl and this came out. Awesome. And like this woman, you know, young woman who, you know, is a little, you know, maybe a little nervous or makes mistakes here. She's an antimatter phase expert. Also, in so addition cool. to spilling hot chocolate on Captain Picard, you know what
that's
I mean?
So cool.
Like that hit me when I was a little girl. So I always really wanted to see more of her, and we only got one more episode. Generally,
fantastic.
She's great. She was in Sumerian Snare.
Yeah, she was in Sumerian Snare.
And then the Borg.
But she's a packlet expert. Even more reason to be in Lower Decks.
Right.
Sorry, what were you saying? What were you saying, man?
I'll just say that the Borg first appeared in Engineering, and you got to see how relentless they were, because they shoot one down, another one appears, and they're like, well, too bad for the first one. We're going to get you anyway.
And by the way, that just makes me love it even more that that's an epic all-time great scene in Engineering, but both of you picked the chocolate milk scene. So much
awesome.
So better, so much better. Okay, let's close out the soup round. I am excited to pick this episode. I know I'll be talking about it again very soon in a few weeks on Trek Ranks. I love this episode so much. Here we go. Five words and a hashtag. Now we can get started. Hashtag get started. It is from Strange New Worlds, season one, episode four, Memento Mori.
Yes.
Which is just an all-time great episode of Star Trek. And this is Hemmer and Uhura working together. And this just really has stuck with me since I first saw it. And I put it on my long list. And I just kept like eliminating and moving stuff. And I was like, I think I'm going to pick it because it really... I think it's going to stand the test of time. So first off, I talked about already briefly with Beverly's Strange New Worlds pick that this set is incredible. It's just staggeringly good how great that VR wall looks and how they designed it. And I love this one because I feel like the pair of Uhura and Hemmer together, it's really cool. Hemmer's hurt. He's trying to talk to Uhura through some tasks. And it's just a fun scene. And I love this moment where she's feeling very good about what she's doing and getting accomplished. And she thinks she's done. And he says, okay, now we can get started. She's like, get started. I thought we were done. So they're trying to fix this atmospheric processor. And the whole thing's just really, really, really fun. And there's also a couple of moments, really quiet moments, where we get to know Hemmer a little bit, where he wanted to be a botanist and he loves flora. And he says he's a pacifist that will defend Starfleet ideals, but he won't fight for Starfleet. Just really interesting character. The whole thing's just great. Oh, and you have the final great moment before with this action scene where they're in their EV suits and they're venting the hole and they're in their EV suits trying not to get sucked out. And Hammer says that the Aenar think that the end only comes once you've fulfilled your purpose. And his purpose is to fix what is broken. Such a great line for an engineer. And Uhura, of course, doesn't know her path, but you get the feeling that Hammer's, you know, going to be a part of that. So it's just really, really great. I love it so much, this episode and scene. Jen, what's your take on this one as an engineer?
Oh, I have a lot of feelings about this. I love it so much. We know that Uhura is great at everything. And right. That's one of the things I really like, that they seem to be, you know, they seem to be doing in Strange New Worlds. Like, she's excelling everywhere she goes, which of course she is, because she's Uhura.
Yeah.
But we also know there also was moments in TOS where we saw that she was specifically good at, like, fixing electronics and engineering type stuff.
Yes.
And so I loved when they put her with Hammer, because we know that she's good at that. And she's one of the reasons she's good at that, we now know, is because she had a Hammer to show her the ropes and engineering, which I just love. It just adds, it's just one of the many, many things that Strange Worlds adds to make stuff in TOS even more meaningful. I really appreciate the writing in this episode between them. Like, I mean, the moments you called out, but specifically the techno babble that when he's telling her what to do, he's giving her instructions. I'm like, oh, that techno babble was a little bit light. You know what I mean? And then when you know it later on, he's like, okay, now we can get started. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was, what was, how well written was that? You know, that, like, I thought the techno babble was a little light. And then sure enough, it was, because that wasn't even the beginning of what they needed to do, which I thought that was really funny. That was really good writing.
It really
and,
is.
And Hammer, what a great chief engineer to have on the Enterprise. I love his character. I think he's a wonderful addition. He's you know, just like you said, that line for an engineer to fix what is broken. Oh my God. Yes. I love him. I love Ember and I love Hera and I love them together. And that's an awesome pick. I'm great. You know, they're technically in the cargo bay for a lot of that, but they are in engineering. So you just count the whole episode as engineering extension.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Well, because isn't that the cargo bay? Because that's where the air compressor is. Of course,
that's where I thought.
And then they blow out.
But you have the engineer.
All right. Yeah. Well, hey, what did I say?
And they are in they are engineering first at some point in that episode.
In my defense, I'll say it's obviously it's obviously the same set as engineering, just reconfigured with the with the VR wall and everything.
And it's an extension of engineering, because they're doing the engine. They have to do the engineering.
And everything's been blown up around.
So big. Yeah.
Everything's blown up around them. So, So really dumb. Nice job there, Morehouse. But hey, I said at the beginning,
there's
engineering adjacent picks. Yeah. This is one of them.
It is.
So, Bev, what's your take on this?
Well, first off, there are some episodes of any movie or any series where you just say that was a perfect episode. And Memento Mori is that for me. It jumped immediately to the top of my favorite list. And, you know, when Hammer said, well, engineer's most important tools are his mind and his hands.
Right.
And then Uhura tells him, well, I'm enjoying it here. Actually, engineering is a lot like linguistics. Both are dependent on how seemingly unrelated systems communicate. And I was like, yeah, that's engineering.
So good.
She's so smart. I love
everything
her.
Between them is really, really strong in this first season. Love it. Okay. I feel vindicated on my stupid pick.
I'm just messing with you.
Hey, all we want to do is talk about shit that we like about Star Trek, and that's what
right.
We're
doing.
So, and that was a fun pick. That's a fun pick.
Jen, what's your number two pick? What's your round two pick?
This is my nostalgic pick. Okay. Just admiring the beautiful breach. # temporal narcosis emoji. And this is TNG season 6, episode 25, Timescape.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah, that's nostalgia.
that just, is nostalgia.
You just want to be stuck in time standing in the engineering watching it explode.
Yeah. I do. And that's honestly why I picked this, because this blew my mind when I was a young child, that the reason they could figure out that time wasn't stopped, but that it was moving really slowly, was because Data was able to see the warp core breach, because it was moving so incredibly fast that he could process it, and he could calculate the rate of expansion of the explosion. And from that, you know, use that data to figure out, you know, how long they have. And that literally blew my mind when I was a kid. I was like, wow, that is so cool. I really like the visual of it. I think that they really, really took the time to think about, if there was a warp core breach, where would the flashpoint occur? He uses the term flashpoint. That's really not the right term, but that's what Data calls it, you know, but like, where would it start? And how would it look? How would it expand? Like, how would you see it at the very, very initial moments of this explosion occurring and expanding? I think they really, really took the time to research what that would look like. And of course, then, I mean, they did make it a little bit flat for Picard to make his little smiley face.
right.
But besides that, you know, but I just love it. I just think it's so neat. And it just really, really captured me and really, really captured my imagination when I was young. So I had to have that one on my list.
I love that. That's one of those classic Brandon Braga. That's his script. That's where his mind, his ability to that thing you said about Data being able to perceive the explosion at the microscopic rate. I love it. That's classic Braga. Really, really great episode. Beverly, what's your take on Timescape and the scene in engineering?
It's another one of my favorite episodes. It was funny watching Picard get sort of time sick.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Temporal narcosis.
Yes.
That was funny. And then they also were able to bring it in to the new series, Prodigy, where they had the ship split into the different times, and everyone was going at a different rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. And where did we just see Time Sick? Was that in that Prodigy episode? There was just a time sickness reference. Was it?
I know what it was. It was Picard season 2, because.
Yes, it was Guinan's time sickness, because he showed up and exchanged those words with her.
He said to her what she had said to him, and she threw up.
Yes, that was so good. It's all linked together.
Oh, and that's funny that Picard was involved with that scene too.
Yeah, that's really good. And the time amok in Prodigy is just.
Yeah. That was a good shout out, because I think that episode captured my children's imagination the way that Timescape captured my imagination.
Yes.
I mean, they talked about that episode for weeks, you know, thinking about how long Rock Talk was alone and, you know, and how did this work? How fast was time moving here for this guy? And, you know, and they talked about that for weeks. So
yeah, full disclosure, that time amok is on my secondary systems. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Beverly, what's your round two pick?
Okay, round two. You are not the captain. # it's exciting. And this just always amuses me. Kirk and Scotty beaming aboard a starship traveling at warp, and Scotty ends up in the pipes going toward a whirling turbine, and just by happenstance, there's a release valve.
I know.
That is so funny to me.
This ship is exciting. Beverly, you did not lie. Your list is fun. I love this pick. I love that moment. I love how much people hate this moment. The snooty fans who just can't get over it. I mean, it's such a fun, it's just an epic movie moment. They beam in, and now here's an action sequence where Scotty's in the pipes and you got to get him out or he's going to drown or get chopped up. It's just such a classic old time movie, exciting 80s kind of adventure feel. I love it.
And it it ties me back to the voyage home, because Scotty went and gave the transparent aluminum to the guy.
Dr. Nichols.
Yeah. And McCoy says, well, aren't you altering the timeline? He says, how do we know he didn't create it? And so Spock says, you're the one that created transwarp beaming. And he said, oh, it never occurred to me. Space is the thing that was moving. and then to know that he beamed Captain Archer's prize beagle away. And he's so sorry about that. It's so funny.
I'm still not over that one. Come on, Scotty. That's not cool. Jen, what's your take on this fun pick?
I am so glad you picked this. This is one of my toughest cuts. It's so bad it's good. Hashtag Scotty's beer run.
Oh my God. That's so
I love this scene. I never, ever will get tired of the fact that they just punted on making an engineering set and instead use a brewery, Budweiser brewery.
So good.
It makes me laugh so hard. I mean, like before the beaming thing, it's like you were talking about, like it's with you know, what Scotty says, I never thought that, you know, space was what was moving. And it's just so funny to see him and old Spock, you know, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, you're messing with my stuff. And he's like, I'm just inputting your equation for transport beaming, you know? Which is just so funny. But when he beams into this ridiculous set of pipes, which, like, because you know me, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to try to ration out what these pipes are for.
Hey, the ship needs water somewhere.
They tried to explain why they punted and just had a beer factory. They're like, oh, all of a sudden now the Enterprise has a bunch of water turbines. Okay. and they mentioned this several times. Like I swear this set belongs here. There's water turbines. Where they say water turbines like five times in this movie, and it makes me laugh every time. But like, so, okay. So you have these pipes, these water turbines. Is this water hot? Like, is it being, you know what I mean? Because if you think it's being propelled, you know, if you're using it for propulsion for the turbines, it's hot from the reactor, or is it cooling water, or is it like radioactive? Like, I think Scotty needs to see the doctor.
It's comfortable, you know, no body temperature.
It's not, though. There's no reason for it to be, but it's just so funny. And who cares? Because it's hilarious. It's so funny. And it's narratively necessary too.
Right.
Because you have to show that there was some kind of consequence for them doing this transwarp beaming. Otherwise, just like, oh, we did it. We did this amazing thing that was impossible and it worked perfectly. Like, that's worse than a ridiculous scene like this. You know what I mean?
Scott, can you hear me?
It is a classic 80s Spielberg kind of just moment in movies, just action movies, just upping the ante. Just they're doing this, it's cool. But what's the next thing? How do you make it this? And that's the thing that Spielberg and Lucas did so well, and JJ does so well.
And the control panel is so fun. You know, he opens the, for some reason there's a hatch on this pipe that's above the ceiling, on the ceiling. And he releases the hatch, and you know, and Spock is like, oh, somebody activated the water turbine control panel. the water turbine control panel, sure.
Turbine release valve activated.
You all right? My head's buzzing and I'm sore, but otherwise I'm fine.
Captain Spock, detecting unauthorized access to water turbine control board.
Ships need water. They need water. It's pretty simple.
I know, but and there's smoking pipes everywhere in this set. Like, that's how they made it, like, be engineering-ish. Like, because this scene doesn't end there. There's a pretty cool little chase until, you know, they get caught by a cupcake.
And a chase through what under no circumstances looks like anything other than a brewery.
I mean, it is 100% just a brewery.
So clearly,
they randomly piped in smoke places to make it look like, oh, there's hot water going through these pipes. It doesn't add to my theory that Scotty doesn't need a doctor. But it brings me such joy every time I see it. So even though it's not technically accurate, it's hilarious, and it's one of my favorite That's what it, like you said, it's fun. It brings me joy. So it counts as a great scene, engineering scene, even though there's no basis in fact for it.
So
such a great pick. I'm so glad you picked it.
And it's all paid off with the fantastic Simon Pegg line.
Yes. Can I get a towel?
Under penalty of court martial, I order you.
So good. Okay. I
guess it is room temperature water. He just needs a towel.
Here we go.
Non-radioactive.
Speaking of fun, here comes another fun pick. My round two pick. Five words of a hashtag. A tricky, nimble little ship. Hashtag. This guy's really getting on my nerves. And it is Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 14. One Little Ship.
Aww.
And I love this pick. Every moment in this episode that takes place in the awesome Defiant engineering set, which is just a fantastic small little set that you know they built on a very small budget, and it just looks so good. I love this set. There's L cars everywhere, but in this episode, it's such a key focus point. Here's the whole crew, well, not the crew, the bridge crew, working to repair the warp drive, but actually trying to regain control of the ship from engineering. You got our buddy, First Kadekaton, being an idiot, and second, Xtanarax Jem'Hadar, just like, dude, why are you letting them do this? They're going to take the ship back over, which I think is an awesome meta kind of classic storytelling trope where the prisoners are obviously plotting and the guys holding a prisoner just can't see it. Anyway, it's just super fun. You got Nog's trying to override the bridge control lockouts. Kira's the one working on the warp drive. Worf's covering everyone's tracks. And then you got Dax, Bashir, and O'Brien in this tiny little Rubicon shuttle flying around the engine room, which is, I mean, that's awesome enough that just to have that moment, this tiny little ship flying around. I love it. At the end, they flood everybody with anesthetine gas, and you know it's a good episode when anesthetine gas has been used to knock everybody out. So I love One Little Ship. It's so much fun, and everything in this awesome Defiant engineering set. I love. Jen, what's your take on this one?
Yeah, I never would have thought of this in a million years. It's such a great pick. It is. It's so much fun. And I really like the engineering set for the Defiant for all the reasons you stated. So, and it's so neat seeing it from different perspective.
And you've got literally the whole crew. You got like seven of the main stars working on this, and they're all working together in this set.
Yeah. Excellent.
Beverly, what's your take on One Little Ship?
One Little Ship, I loved it when they're pretending to fix everything and they're actually undoing everything.
Right. Yeah. It's so good.
It reminds me of Rascals when the captain is a little kid and he's pretending Riker is his dad. So Riker's trying to do some techno babble about computer. And he's unlocking the classroom computer so they can take over the ship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's similar. It does have a little bit of a Rascals tone sometimes in this episode where there's like a lot at stake, but it's winking at the audience the entire time.
Yes.
Really good. Yes. Okay, let's go to round one.
Begin round one.
Jen, what's your number one scene in engineering?
Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how hard this was to narrow it, but I'm happy with my first pick. Okay. Five words. You're too late. We're everywhere.
Oh.
Hashtag choose the changeling.
We are
staying on the Defiant. this is DS9 season 3, episode 26, The Adversary.
Choose the changeling. Choose the changeling. So good.
Oh my God. This scene has everything because you start off. It's not just a fight scene. This is an engineering scene too, because this is O'Brien working his magic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sisko calls down to O'Brien, you know, because they're on auto destruct, And you know, and the computer says, you know, auto destruct in 7 minutes, and O'Brien has this plan. He's like, I think I can take down the changeling's force fields. And Cisco's like, how long will it take? And O'Brien does a great line. I guess it will have to take less than 7 minutes. You
know? Yeah, that's right.
Which is so fun because it's such a like engineering crunch time moment.
Cisco to O'Brien.
O'Brien here.
I could use some good news right now, Chief.
How about this? I think I may be able to shut down the Changeling's force fields and gain access to the sabotage systems. The only problem is we may lose our force fields too.
Auto-destruct in 7 minutes.
Just tell me how long it will take.
Well, I guess it'll have to be less than 7 minutes, won't it?
That'd be my suggestion. Cisco out.
So I had to have some like button pushing, with the deadline, in this one. But yeah, so they're doing that. And then the changeling shows up and then another changeling shows up and which one's Odo and who knows? And then that's when O'Brien says, I don't have time to play choose the changeling. I gotta do something.
You gotta love that he just bears down. He's like, I got an engineer.
I gotta do this. I'm on a deadline. And he has his guy, hold the phaser on them. And then it just turns into this epic fight, because O'Brien does this thing. He makes it known that like this is gonna affect the force field that surrounds the warp core too, So watch out for that, which is important later in this scene, because then you get the great fight with Odo and the changeling. And it's a really fun fight because the changeling goes right in the chest and starts changeling in Odo, with that soupy, Quicksilver, thing. And then Odo is the back and it's kind of like two superheroes with their beams meeting in the middle, which one's going to push the other one, and Odo wins and he pushes him into the aforementioned warp core without a force field. And the changeling died. Like, how do you kill a changeling? Apparently radiation poisoning will do it. Mm-hmm. And the death scene is just epic too, because it's another one of those scenes that you don't get the payoff for until the scene's over, until later in the episode, because he leans over and he whispers something to Odo and you don't know what he whispered. And he gets this smile on his face and then he just, crumbles into this black ash, which is so he's dead. Like, it's obvious. Like, this guy didn't just is he unconscious? Is he hurt? This guy's dead. He's just black ash. And it's so great. And then you find out later that what he said was, you're too late, we're everywhere. That's how you end the season, man.
huge
epic fun, made great use of the engineering set, the warp core is used as a murder weapon here. I love that much.
And that set, it rules. Such a good set, knowing that I don't actually know this for a fact, but they built that on just the smallest budget, where they were just right. We really needed to find an engineering set, guys. Okay, we don't have any space, and they just made an awesome set.
And it makes sense for a little ship to have a little warp core, room like that. Like it fits the tone and the style of the Defiant, which is a ship I love anyway.
Yeah,
glad to put it on my list.
Beverly, what's your take on the adversary?
I'm going to give Miles O'Brien some love.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Remember the time that I was on a medical tour in Beijing and we went to the Great Wall and Khomeini was there.
What?
And I was so I was so starstruck that I was like, should I go say something to him? Should I not? And of course, when I went up to him, I couldn't say anything intelligent.
Right? of course. And he tells that story at conventions. I'm on the freaking Great Wall of China, and I got fans coming up to me.
Star Trek fans are everywhere. Too late. They're everywhere.
Oh, that is fantastic. I've been to the Great Wall of China. How come I didn't see any Star Trek people? That's not cool. Okay. It's take me a while to get over that. All right, Beverly, what's your number one pick?
Again, we're going for fun.
I love it.
And everybody can join in with this one. The ship out of danger, #Kobayashi Maru solution. and it's Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
This isn't fun.
Well, it's memorable.
I'm gonna cry. No, he comes back.
He comes back.
Yes, true. I mean, this is the epic scene in engineering that somebody had to pick, and I'm glad you did it, Beverly.
Yeah.
How did this not even occur to me?
Oh, this was on my list where I kept being like, I'm not gonna pick it. I want to pick some other things. So somebody has to pick it. So
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, keep going, Beverly.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, right?
I mean, ship out of danger. That's really all you need to know. This was my toughest cut for sure. It's just this is Star Trek. This is the moment that guaranteed Star Trek was going to keep going. In terms of them continuing to make new Trek and not stop with the sequel to the motion picture. Brilliant. Jen, any quick take on The Wrath of Khan?
I mean, just like one of cinema's most perfect scenes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't really have anything intelligent to say about it. Oh man. I can't believe I didn't think of it. Great.
All the mechanism. It's just perfect. Yeah. It's a perfect scene.
Yeah.
He's dead already. Fun. Okay, here we go. My number one pick. I think you're going to like this one, Jen. This is one of my favorite pure Star Trek scenes. It's just what makes Star Trek Star Trek for me, and it definitely what makes TNG TNG for me. Five words in a hashtag. Anything cooler than antimatter injectors? Hashtag... The answer is no. TNG season 3, episode 21, Hollow Pursuits. And this is the final moment of this episode where there's just seven engineers standing around the pool table in the TNG engineering set. And they are just solving this amazing mystery that has been affecting the ship with all these different malfunctions and things happening in all these sporadic places. Forget about the Barclay part of this episode. Forget about the holodeck. This scene is just a great, great mystery. There's this amazing technobabble. The magnetic clench on the fusion pre-burners. Fuel inlet servers stuck in a cycle? If they were, the swirl dampeners would be frozen too. There's antimatter injectors are jammed. The anti-grav unit's down. Transporter malfunctions. The twisted glass. What's the connection? And I just love the logic model on this. They're just brainstorming. They're all thinking about different things. Barclay finally comes up with the connection like, hey, it must be something. It's not systematic. It must be something that we are transferring among us into these systems. And they come up with 15,500 substances not detected by their standard scans. And then how many can exist in an oxygen atmosphere? 532. And can alter molecular structure in contact with glass? 5. Put them on the screen. I love this scene. It's so exciting. It's just all words and writing and the script, but it just sings for me. And then they figure out that it's the Invidium that is all over the ship and they need to fix it. Hollow Pursuits, final 15 minutes, bunch of engineers standing around solving a problem. Beverly, what's your take on Hollow Pursuits?
I'm really glad you picked that because I never would have made the connection. But to me, that's like sci-fi in its purest.
Yes.
And then link that with Picard and Data being Sherlock Holmes. They have to solve the mystery. And that is so perfect for so many episodes. It's great. Yeah,
it's kind of a part of the DNA of Trek. Jen, what's your take?
I am so in love with this pick. What a great pick. The reason I love this so much is when, you know, in TNG and elsewhere too, when they're solving problems like around a table, you have one perspective from engineering, you have one perspective from medical, you have one perspective from security, you know what I mean? You have one perspective. This is just the engineers like spitballing against each other and trying things. And I could watch a whole episode of just that, you know? Mm-hmm. And my gosh, it's that good. Like, it's so fun. And you're right. The techno babble in that one too is also exceptionally well done. What a real engineering pick.
Yeah. I love it. It's 10 minutes long, but I could watch a whole episode of sitting around a table, problem solving, smart dialogue, back and forth. This one it always stood out to me. It's my favorite part about Hollow Pursuits for sure. Okay. Man, I can't wait. We got some great stats to get to. Let's get into some secondary systems.
Let's see what you can do with the secondary systems.
Jen, what's on your list?
Okay. So I had the best choreographed engineering takeover, Batleth Baryshnikov's, which Day of the Dove.
Of course. Yes. Day of the Dove's on my list.
Yeah. Day of the Dove. Oh my gosh. Them taking over. It's just so well choreographed and it's just amazing. That always strikes me. Deadlock, Janeway versus Janeway.
Oh, I didn't think of Deadlock. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's a classic scene, and it's in engineering. Yep,
yeah. It's in engineering because it's command and control is in engineering. And
I probably would have picked that if I thought of it. That's a great one.
Yeah. I had Ephraim and Dot.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. Yeah.
Which is sweet. Doctor's orders, where Phlox has to restart the warp 5 engine by himself, not knowing how to do it. With T'Pol, like playing dumb, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's so funny at playing that way because you can kind of. I love watching her do that because in contrast to how she plays T'Pol for real, you can kind of, you know what I mean? It's really funny. The Day of Honor warp core injection. Almost made my list.
That is my other toughest cut. I love that. I mean, it's the first time we've ever really seen a real warp core ejection on screen. And it's just that's a huge moment in Trek for me. I love Day of Honor.
Yeah, Day of Honor. And we have to give some props to the Geordi role out of engineering.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. The Geordi barrel roll needs
the Geordi barrel roll. Another one that surprised me that almost made my list, which was a really surprise to me because it's a Neelix episode. It's Investigations, where Neelix kills a guy in engineering.
Kills
in a really epic way. Yeah, in a real epic way, too, because he gets killed in there's a ruptured conduit and he gets thrown into the plasma stream and he just like poops.
not poor Jonas. Jonas deserved it. I love
it. And Neelix was defending himself. It wasn't like murdering him. Yeah. To make that decision. But I just thought that scene almost made my list because it made really good use of the engineering set. You know, because you're at the bottom, they crawl up and they're at the top and they're fighting then. And you know what I mean? And they just...
Yeah, that's good.
It's just really well done. One more, I would also like to have full credit for not picking Acquisition.
Thank you. But
I would like to say that the scene that is good in engineering there is Archer working Krem. They're in engineering and he's having Archer take the engineering, you know, all the parts of the engine that they can sell. And it's in engineering, and that's when Archer works him in a way that only someone who knows about capitalism, you know, really could, because he's got Krem's number, and it's actually a really good scene. So,
and not because Tripp's snooping around the corner in his blue underwear.
You know, I restrained myself from mentioning that.
Okay, Beverly, any secondary systems picks?
Edit anything you need to because I have so many. Okay. First, tribute to engineers because they fix things. So in DS9, when they go into the mirror universe, I love it when Intendant Kira says, I remember the first time I saw you, Tinkerer. And she talks about Smiley.
Yeah.
And then he also becomes the most important person in Starfleet history.
True.
I love that.
Ryan.
with TOS, of course, any scene with Scotty, because he's the miracle worker.
Yeah.
And then with First Contact, being in the engineering with the Borg Hive and the Borg Queen.
Yeah.
TNG.
Oh, I didn't think of First Contact. That's huge. Yeah, that's a big one.
With TNG, I love the Naked Now, where they've pulled out all the isolinear chips. Wesley. Yeah. And then Data has to sit there and says, I'm not going to have enough time to put them back. I had the Geordi role too.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Discovery, I love the banter between Stamets and Reno.
I love them.
That's on my list. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great together.
Mushrooms. I picked them off the my mushrooms. Pizza.
Yes. Yeah, right.
She's like, what did she say? Something about like, it's a greenhouse. So she said, I didn't think a greenhouse counts as either critical or propulsive, but what do I know? I'm just a gearhead. I love that. Yeah, I love those scenes. That's an oval for Corona. That was definitely on my list.
Right. Yeah. And then I have some trivia. James Doohan got an honorary PhD from Milwaukee School of Engineering because half of the school's students credited his character, Scotty, with inspiring them to pursue a career in engineering. That was great.
That is so cool.
And then my favorite meme is the Starfleet engineers and the book, because you have Trip Tucker, who says, there's a book. And then Scotty says, I'm writing the book. And Geordi says, well, I have a mint condition first edition and all 15 editions. And Miles says, I'm working with a pirated copy and Google Translate. And Alana is, she has the book somewhere, but she's mostly got handwritten notes. And then Jet Reno is using the book to prop up the warp core.
Oh, my God. That's
that's awesome.
That feels really accurate. That's so good.
That fits them all.
So those are my secondary lists.
Fantastic list. I think most of my stuff's been mentioned. My Toughest Cuts, Wrath of Khan, and Day of Honor. Let's see. There's a few more here. Oh, I meant Lon. This was what I wanted to include. Lon Suter's death scene is in Engineering in Basics Part 2. Just an epic scene. Has nothing to do with engineering, but shout out to Lon Suter. One of the ones I thought of, especially with the Picard season 2 finale, I really love the scene with the Traveler and Wesley in Where No One Has Gone Before at the end, where the Traveler's saving the day. I love that effect that they use. So many TOS options that I didn't pick, like the Changeling, where they talk Nomad to death, Day of the Dove, you mentioned, Jen, the Ultimate Computer and Daystrom and the M5 and everything. Some great scenes there. I had the Adversary. I didn't even realize I had that on my secondary system. No Time to Play, Choose the Changeling. And I had, Timeless was on my list. And then I had that, my special shout out was going to be to the Spore Hub, and that, there's two scenes in an oval for Crone, the one we just talked about with Reno and all that stuff and the mushrooms. And then the amazing scene with Tilly and Stamets singing David Bowie and A Space Oddity. So fantastic. All right.
That was a special moment.
Yeah, really, really good. Okay, amazing, amazing conversation. I love this. Let's get into our regeneration cycle because I have some awesome stats to go through here.
Computer, activate regeneration cycle. Alcoves beta and gamma.
Okay, Jen, recap your picks before we break it all down.
Okay, for my number 5 pick, I cheated. So I have Enterprise's Cold Front and TOS's Elon of Troyes.
And just to be clear, I counted both. So that's 16 picks we have today. So keep going.
My number 4 pick was Q-Who, TNG's Q-Who. My number 3 pick was Enterprise's E Squared. My number 2 pick was TNG's Timescape. And my number 1 pick was DS9's The Adversary.
Awesome. So you had 2 each from Enterprise and TNG, and then 1 from TOS and Deep Space Nine. Beverly, how about you?
Okay. My number 5 was Strange New Worlds, Ghost of Valyria. My number 4 was Voyager's Timeless, which Geordi LaForge, LeVar Burton, directed.
That's right. And he shows up at the end as Captain of the Challenger. Right. And by the way, I really hope he's the captain of the Challenger in season 3 of Picard. That would be so cool.
Oh my God. I can't believe we're going to get Geordi back.
All right. Keep going, Beverly.
Number 3 is TNG, Q Who. Number 2 is Star Trek 2009 with the beer brewery. And then number 1, the ultimate engineering sequence, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
The ultimate. So you broke, yours went, you had 2 films, and you had 5 different incarnations. One from TOS, one from the Kelvin timeline, and then TNG, Voyager, and Strange New Worlds. That is awesome.
Engineers are everywhere.
Exactly. My list, I had 5 different incarnations. My number 5 was Similitude from Enterprise. Number 4 was Court Martial from TOS. Number 3, Memento Mori from Strange New Worlds, and an awesome scene in a cargo bay. My number 2 was Deep Space Nine, Our Little Ship. And number 1 from from TNG, Hollow Pursuits. So I had 1 each from TOS, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, and Strange New Worlds. So here are some quick stat breakdowns. We've got, I counted up all the ships that were represented, and it is all over the place. There are 7 different ships, 1 representation for Voyager and the 1701 Kelvin, 2 each for the Defiant and the 1701 Strange New Worlds. Oh, as well as 1701 OG from TOS, and then 3 for the NX-01 Enterprise. And leading the way with 4 picks was the 1701 Enterprise D. Love that. And then in terms of engineers that actually were part of the scene that was picked, the numbers were 1 each for Scotty Hemmer, the Scotty Kelvin timeline, so 2 Scotties, I guess, but different versions, and 1 O'Brien. And then we had 3 scenes with Trip and 4 scenes with Geordi. There was 1 duplicate, and for the episode breakdown, it's pretty good representation here. We had 1 each from Voyager and the Kelvin timeline, 2 from TOS and Strange New Worlds, 3 from Enterprise, 2 from Deep Space Nine, 3 from Enterprise, and 4 from TNG. So pretty cool cross-section there with 7 different incarnations of Trek being selected. Oh,
and add 1 for B'Elanna.
Oh, which one? Oh, yeah, Timeless. I forgot about that. Yeah. I didn't have her.
I'm glad B'Elanna's on there somewhere.
Yes! I didn't miss the Voyager, but I missed B'Elanna. All right. Sorry, B'Elanna. You are, I think she was my top 2 engineer when we did top 5 engineers way back when. That was a long, long time ago, like episode 40 or something. Okay, let's move on. We have been hit by a temporal distortion, so before we can depart, it's time to hear from you.
The temporal distortions are fracturing space-time throughout the ship.
Cause?
Unknown.
Oh, we know the cause, Mr. Tuvok. All the amazing feedback we continue to receive from our listeners here at Trek Ranks. And this week's temporal distortion has sent us back to episode 134 and our top 5 Spock episodes. We got in an awesome voicemail from our friend Christian Jewell, who is at TrekkieCJ on Twitter. It's an amazing list. He was originally going to be on that show, but then, and he talks about this in his voicemail quickly, that he decided he didn't feel like he knew TOS well enough to do Spock justice. But then he called in and said, I should have done it because here's my list. And it's an awesome list. So here's Christian.
Hello, Jim and Trek Ranks. It's your friend Christian at TrekkieCJ. So we had a discussion in Chicago about being on the Spock episode, and I didn't think I was the person to do it. But as it turns out, I probably could have been a pretty good co-host of that episode. I would like to add my top 5 Spock moments at this time. Number 5 is Sitting on the Edge of Forever. While it's a very difficult moment when Spock holds back McCoy and allows the timeline to go back to what it should be, it shows a very early needs of the many moment for Spock. And it also kind of shows how much he does love Kirk and that he lets this happen, even though, you know, he knows what Edith means to him. My number four is Unification Part 2. More specifically, the mind meld sequence at the end with Picard. As someone who has a lot of daddy issues, that moment was just one that was very beautiful to me. Number three was Star Trek 09, the scene where Spock beams down to Vulcan. There's not much that's said in that scene. It's really just an action sequence, but it's my favorite beam down sequence in all of Star Trek. When you see him get up on the pad and reassemble down on Vulcan, and that scene always gives me chills, just the way Zachary was able to pull that off. Number two, this is the one that I'll use of five words. I didn't make that for all of them. Jim, your name is Jim. So the final moment of Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, is when we get our resolution. We get that promise that everything is going to be okay just by hearing Spock say those five words. My top moment for Spock was Wrath of Khan. The scene when he's on the bridge, he's overhearing what's happening in the nebula, what's happening with the Genesis device, and he makes that decision. He pauses, he turns, and he leaves the bridge. That scene always chokes me up, and it just, that's Spock. He will always give his life for the needs of the many. All right, that's my five. Thanks so much for having a wonderful podcast. Thanks so much for all of the positivity that you bring to our Trek community.
So I love those picks. All heavy hitters from Christian. And I think Christian just came up with a new topic for me to add to our long list of scenes in Trek. It's top five beaming sequences, which he mentions. So I think I've always thought about doing transporter room stuff, but maybe we should do beaming sequences. Anyway, that's going to happen.
You could get a whole episode out of beaming sequences.
Pirates. That's awesome. Pirates. Yeah, pirates.
For sure. Oh, pirates, yeah. All right, and Christian, is that going to be on Trek Ranks very soon? We got him locked in for a topic that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. That's at TrekkieCJ. Give him a follow. Those picks more than enough to clear ourselves from this week's temporal distortion. So as always, I want to thank everyone for all the great responses. The Trek Ranks podcast, keep your list coming to me at Trek Ranks on Twitter so we can retweet them. But we also want to hear from you. So put together your own list of top five scenes in engineering or a list from any of our past shows. Give us a call at the Tricorder Transmissions at 609-512-5527. Or you can just send me a DM, record it yourself. And we can link up that way. Hopefully we'll hear from you so you can be featured on the next episode of Trek Ranks. And on the next episode of Trek Ranks, we are doing another recap show. There's just so much new Star Trek. I love this. We're doing our top five Strange New Worlds season one moments. We're currently through eight episodes of Strange New Worlds. We record this. Just amazing. So Jen and Beverly, you know, we use our Trek Ranks matrix when we do our season recap shows. So give us one moment or episode from the first season of Strange New Worlds that you want to highlight, Jen.
Okay, well, I would like to highlight? First of all, the first season of Strange New Worlds has been so incredible. Beyond anything that I expected. Like, I'm obsessed. And one of the breakouts for me has been the character of La'an.
Yes.
Who's so amazing and so strong and interesting, character. I did not expect to be as drawn to her as I was, especially obviously Memento Mori, which was a pick today. She's the little character traits that they give her, like just the little moments. First of all, Strange Worlds is just really good at doing that so far, I think, for all their characters. But it makes her trauma feel so real, even though it's obviously something that's so like outlandish, you know what I mean, that we can't, you know, even imagine. But they really manage to make her trauma feel
as it could be from this world, and how she reacts to things. And there's, you know, and I just find it fascinating. I think Christina Chong has done an amazing job with that character. I love the look of the character, the design. They gave her these tight braids that kind of look like Gorn eyebrows almost. I like the ridges on the Gorn eyebrows are like, she wears like a crown on her head because she has defeated them. You know what I mean? And I love her so much.
She's amazing. I'll probably talk about this on the show, but I love the fact that we've seen the angry, damaged security guard a million times on a million shows. And this one just feels, it's so different. She doesn't, there's none of the tropes are there. It's all just layered and interesting and surprising. I love that character. Okay. Beverly, how about you? What's your one thing you would highlight?
Well, since Jen highlighted Memento Mori, which is absolutely one of my favorites, I'm going to go with the Elysian Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I just have to imagine that episode is going to be played on a loop every day, all day long, at every children's hospital.
It's such a joy.
In the world. And have costumes in the playroom too.
I love that. I love it. Yeah. It's a great, great episode. It really, really connects. I love it.
I love the way that they made how they decorated the ship to still be the ship.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, they didn't like CGI it into some wonderful, fanciful kingdom.
Yeah.
They left the reality of it.
Yeah. And, it's a practical set. Yeah.
It's just so well done. I just adore the way they chose the choice that they made to do that, to make it still be the ship just with like decorations, you know?
And you just couldn't feel any more classic TOS. It's just really amazing.
Oh, I love it.
And having grown up on TOS as a 6-year-old, it just reminds me of how the young people now being introduced to Trek, these types of episodes make them feel a part of it immediately.
For sure. This one's a connector.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So to wrap it up here today, a huge thanks to Jen Tift and Dr. Beverly Falls for coming on the show.
I was wondering if you could show me how to access these subspace communications logs.
And we're going to do that right now, Neelix. So any final Trek subspace communications, either one of you want to relay before we depart? Jen.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was a joy to talk about with you wonderful people. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Way too much fun. And Beverly, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, it's always a joy to listen to Trek Ranks. And I'm so happy we're getting an all new Trek all through the year.
I know. It's crazy. Gosh. It's crazy. We're almost at the end of 50, I think it's 48 straight weeks or something. I did the stats on that tweet.
So good.
Amazing. Okay. Awesome job, everybody. Thanks again for engaging with us here on episode 138 of the Trek Ranks podcast. As always, I want to close by saying I'm looking forward to standing with you again here in this place where I belong.
I'm giving you high marks on your assessment today. You impressed me after all.
Assuming that will still matter. Thank you.
Humans waste so much life worrying about death. The Enar believe the end only comes once you have fulfilled your purpose. It provides meaning.
I like that. So what was your purpose?
To fix what is broken.
You can throw in teaching. Maybe even being inspiring. A little.
And you? What do you feel is the purpose of your life's path?
I really don't know. Does that mean I'm not gonna die?
There's only one way to find out.
Just want to remind everyone again that the entire Trek Ranks catalog is available for you to download and listen to at TrekRanks.com and on your podcast player of choice. Our episodes never get carbon dated, so check out the topics you've missed and maybe just want to listen to again over at TrekRanks.com. And a reminder to check out our friends 5-Year Mission at 5YearMission.net. They're writing a song for every episode of Star Trek, and you won't believe how great their music is. They also have a podcast at the Trek Geeks Network, so seek them out. You won't regret it.
Again. It's just that...
I know. You're excited. Look, Sonya.
Yes?
I don't think you want to be around these control stations with that hot chocolate, do you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even have this in engineering. It's just we were talking. I forgot I had it in my hand. I'm gonna go finish it over here. Lieutenant LaForge, this is not gonna happen again. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Captain.
Actually, it's my fault, sir.
Indeed.
Oh, I wasn't looking. It's all over you.
Yes, Ensign, it's all over me.
At least let me, sir.
Ensign.
Oh, Ensign Sonya Gomez.
Ensign Gomez is a recent Academy graduate, Captain. She just transferred over at Starbase 173.
Is that so? Well, Ensign Sonya Gomez, I think it will be simpler if I simply change my uniform.
Captain, I must accept full responsibility for this.
Yes, Chief Engineer, I think I understand.
I just want to say, sir, that I'm very excited about this assignment, and I promise to serve you and my ship, your ship, this ship, to the best of my ability.
Yes, Ensign, I'm sure that you will. Carry on.